Honourable members, good morning. Chair Mulwini, good. Where is our children? Morning to watch up there. But please bear with us. We are starting now. Communications informs me that they went to a wrong venue. I have had negotiations with Water Affairs that we start. Good morning to National Treasury. How many people are here from National Treasury? Does your part deal with communication? Are you dealing with communication as well? Well, okay, so it suits you, whichever way we start. You're welcome. I'm in your hands. Are we starting with finance? We start with communication? But you don't understand. Okay. Communications, we will start with you. Just to say that I hope that today, now, henceforth, we will improve our relationship. In the past, it has not been a very cordial relationship that we have had. I hope that from now henceforth you will be able to assist us. We are dealing with the third quarterly report. Our third quarterly report shows that you have spent 45% of the budget at the end of the third quarter. Now, it's something that is worrying us as a committee. During the MPPS and the adjustments. We had discussions with communications, and we raised concerns in terms of the expenditure. At the time, you're Mr. Vilagas, no? Yes. At the time, we asked Mr. Vilagas not to talk about where the expenditure was at that time. So that, because that statement normally catches up with people. And it's exactly what we're trying to caution from not to tell us the progress that has been made. But what we're concerned with is the expenditure between the 1st of April up to the 30th of September, which at the time was around 26%. Now it's 45%. It worries us as to the minister has tabled the vote. Now, what really worries us is that we must persuade we, this committee, the portfolio committee on communication, and we have invited them to this meeting, although they have another commitment. The chairperson has given an indication to me that at least they will be represented. So what I was trying to say is that sooner or later, with the communications, we must persuade Parliament to obviously approve your budget. Now, which is obviously higher than what you have you had last year, but you are not in a position to spend the little that you were given. In fact, if in your comments you could also comment about the SAPC, because the Portfolio Committee chairperson is worried that the SAPC is supposed to support the election, but they don't see the budget for that. I know that it's not necessarily part of this meeting, but I'm raising it because the Portfolio Committee has raised it with me that they don't see this budget. In fact, they want us to discuss it in appropriation, but it will be too late by then if it is not discussed now, because I don't know the dates for the communication votes, but it will really be, it might be too late. So Dr. Weso, am I right? So are we really in your hands now? We'd like you to address us in terms of your presentation and the issues that we have raised, but also I hope that you'll be able to say to us going forward what is it that you're doing that can convince us that you will be able to spend this budget by the end of the year. And also, our experience at this committee is that this quarter, January to March, there's going to be a spike. You know, everybody throwing money around and money that have not been spent. We're not expecting you to jump from 45% into at the end of December to 90% or anything. maybe you can indicate to us how much do you think that how much under expenditure are you projecting as well? Over to you, sir. You can introduce your team. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members. For the opportunity to present here this morning, I have with me Mr. Sam Bilakasi, who is the Acting DDG responsible for finance, and also Ms. Pearl Sebola, who is Chief Director of Communications in the department. I will ask Mr. Bilakasi to take you through the presentation. But just by introduction, you know, the Department of Communications had a very, very difficult year this year. You know, we got a new minister, new deputy minister. We had a director general who left the department, and sorry.
That's our internal problem. The impression was that water and environmental affairs was going to present, and therefore that is the slide. I'm just asking them to change to communication so that we are not can follow you. It's an internal what you call it, matter. Yeah. Start again. Yeah. Good. So I just indicated that we had a very difficult year this financial year, and we will take you through the historical expenditure pattern, and then also giving you reasons for the low spending rate, and also lastly, to conclude, we'll give you an idea as to where we are now. And what we see as the way forward. So I'll ask Mr. Sam Bilakasi now to take you through the slides.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, and thank you very much, Acting DG. Chair, we would be taking the committee through the performance of the department as at 31st December 2010. The department was allocated a budget of 2.1 billion. What is projected here, Chair, in terms of the breakdown, the current payments were 502, transfers and subsidies were 1.6, and payments for capital assets were 4.1. The expenditure as at 31st December 2010, on the current payments, the department was sitting at 226, and that was making 45%, 45.03. The transfers and subsidies were sitting at 7.7, also constituting about 45%. Payments for capital assets, 1.4, that was 35. Overall, the department was sitting at 45% as at 31st of December. In terms of the breakdown, Honorable Chair, there are six programs within the department. The first program being administration, which was allocated 159. It was sitting at 1.4, making 55%. ICT, international affairs, and trade, with an allocation of 44, sitting at 25, making 56%. ICT policy development, 102, the expenditure was sitting at 47, making it 46%. The biggest branch within the department, which is ICT enterprise development, which mainly deals with the transfers to the SOEs, was sitting at 77, making up 45%. ICT infrastructure development, 32. That was 17%. And the last program, which is the Presidential National Commission, was sitting at 17, making it 52. So basically, Chair, what we're projecting here is just a breakdown of how various programs performed. And I think in the slide, it just shows the budget versus expenditure. It's just that we put it in a graph format. The biggest branch, which is we'll speak to it. The biggest branch within the department, which is ICT enterprise development, which constitutes about 76% of the total allocation. The 1.6 billion was allocated as follows, Chair, to the following entities. These were mainly transfers and subsidies to SOEs, the first one being ICASA, which was allocated 290. Approved drawings were 215, and the actual transfer at 31st December was in line with the drawings. So we're on track with ICASA. NEMISA, 32 million. We were also on track with the 24 million, which was also in line with the drawings. There was a bit of a challenge, Honorable Chair, with USASA. However, I will go into the reasons as to exactly what was the problem with USASA, why we could not transfer the money that we were scheduled to transfer. The USAF, which was allocated 218, there was also a slight challenge there, but I'll also go into the reasons in the next slide. SAPO subsidy, which was allocated 306, it was in line with the drawings, so we were on track on that. There was no problem. SABC public broadcaster, there was a slight challenge. I will indicate the reasons as well. SABC Channel Africa, it was in line with the drawings. Centec, there was a slight challenge there. The reasons are stated below. And Telkom 2010 FIFA World Cup, which was allocated 150 million. The money has actually not been transferred, but it was projected to be transferred in March. So that's why we're indicating that it's in line with the drawings. I did indicate, Chair, that there were four areas where there was a bit of a problem. The first one being USASA, Funds were withheld due to lack of spending by USASA as a result of projects not being implemented on time. I must indicate, Chair, that one of the things that we are doing as a department is that one of the critical things that we consider before funds could be transferred is the actual performance of entities. And where the performance is not evident, we are unable to transfer the funds because we have the view that we cannot just be dumping funds on these entities. We need to really see that performance is being driven. And there was a problem at USASA. Projects were not moving, things were not happening. And as a result, as a department, we engaged the management of USASA to try and understand exactly what was the problem, why funds were not moving. And we really got to the bottom of the situation to try and get USASA to implement the project. So there was a slight delay there. I think it was more of a management issue than anything else, where there was really lack of action on the side of management. Projects were not prioritized, deadlines were not honored, and so on. But as a department, we did engage with USASA, and the situation has been rectified. The USAF fund, which mainly deals with the subsidies, Honorable Chair, through the Minister, we engaged the board of USASA and the management of USASA to try and expedite the project, which they did, and the funds have been transferred to USASA, and the projects are now, we started the process, Chair, beginning of January. I must say that there was really, really a challenge at USASA. However, the board took corrective steps, and the funds have been transferred, and the projects are currently being implemented. In fact, most of the projects are nearing completion as an intervention from the department. On the USAF fund, these funds were mainly meant for set-top box subsidies. The problem was that there was a delay on the finalization of the DTT standards as a result of the review that was instituted by the former minister as well as the former director general. The current minister has made a pronouncement beginning of this year on the DTT standards, and therefore this project will be implemented. Unfortunately, we were unable to spend this money because it's purely meant to subsidize poor TV owning households, and because the standards were not pronounced, it was almost impossible to. It's meant for the subsidies of set-top boxes, Chair, for poor TV owning households as part of the digital migration process. So the minister only pronounced the standards beginning of this year, and unfortunately, this money could not be spent in any other way. On the SABC public broadcaster, we experienced a bit of a challenge there, Chair, in the sense that, I wouldn't say really that it's a train smash, because the problem was that the disbursement of funds and the procurement processes at the SABC were somehow not tying up. Because, for example, SABC was meant to buy DTT equipment and the education content. Now, the problem is that the procurement process, the lead times, the negotiations, the contracting, and so on, is actually not in line with the disbursement. That's why there was a bit of a delay. But we have engaged the SABC on this matter, and the spending pattern has been sorted out. It was just mainly around the contracting issues, the lead times, and so on. On Centec, the underspending was also caused by the delay in the DTT standard, and the fact that the minister has already now made a pronouncement on the standards. We are now on track with Centec, because this money was meant for two things. Was meant for capital expenditure, that is basically...
you're working with these entities, and we're sitting here in Parliament, we're looking at the reports that we're getting. Now, you keep on saying now, here everything has been sorted out now, people are working. We want you to assist us to say, this was what was done by this man when this thing started. When you're talking about sorting out, when was that sorting out? When did people start spending? Because according to our records, there is no spending. So that's why you must assist us. And that is why you understand by your own what you call your admission. So please make us understand. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, I think there's a slide where we indicate where we are now as a department. Perhaps maybe that slide will somehow bring to the surface or to the picture the current spending in the department. So basically what I was trying to do, I was just trying to indicate the areas where there was underspending and the main reasons behind that. Perhaps maybe I'll talk to the current situation when I get to the slide. Reasons for underspending in the department and the corrective measures adopted to try and fix the situation. The first problem, Honorable Chair, was the high rate of vacancy in the department as a result of the organizational review. There was a process that was initiated by the previous DG as well as the previous minister to re-look into the entire organizational structure. What happened was that there was a moratorium on appointments, and unfortunately, there were some of the areas really that were very critical where there were vacancies. And unfortunately, because of this organizational review, those positions could not be filled. But a review has now been finalized. The critical positions have been filled as we are talking. Just to try and make sure that the capacity in the department is enhanced. The second issue, Honorable Chair, is that the delays in the implementation of projects. I'm now referring specifically to the to all on the side of the department, not necessarily the transfers to the entities. I think the acting DG did indicate that there was a bit of instability in the department at some point. Honorable Chair would note that at some point the DG had to part with the department, at some point the minister also parted ways, and there was just a bit of confusion. But however, we did try and maintain the situation. Measures were put in place to expedite the implementation of the project, including the reconstitution of the BID committee and the appointment of alternate members. I must indicate that there was a bit of a problem also around the BID committee because it was not really functioning the way it should have. However, the acting DG as well as the new minister, they did attend to that matter, Honorable Chair. The third issue which we had to deal with as a department was the issue around the key internal controls. Honorable Chair will note that there were weaknesses that were identified by the Auditor General in the previous in the 9-10 audit, wherein the key internal controls were identified as not being sufficient. And what we then did as a department, we had to look into making sure that the key internal controls are put in place. Now, Honorable Chair will note that the minute you have an environment where you try to put controls, of course, spending will tend to slow a little bit because, more especially in a culture where people were not really that used to complying, and all of a sudden now there's this new culture where people have to comply. Of course, it contributes to the slow rate of spending, but we had to do that because it was necessary that the key internal controls be put in place. As a result of all those interventions, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, this is the current situation in the department. We have actually broken it down according to the programs. The first program being administration, which was allocated a budget of 159. Expenditure currently, as we are talking, or as at 14th March, it was sitting at 135, making up about 85%. And with the commitment, we had projected 12 million. taking the spend, including commitments, to 94. So there are projects that are currently being paid off. There are invoices that are currently in the pipeline, constituting about 12 million. ICT International Affairs and Trade allocated 44. Expenditure as at 14th March was sitting at 33, constituting 75%. With the commitments, we're projecting to be spending about 75%. ICT Policy Development allocated 80 million. Expenditure as at March, 50 million. With a commitment of about 4 million, we're projecting, all in all, 69%, which basically means that by end of March, which is March 31st, we should have spent about roughly 69, including the commitments. ICT Enterprise Development, which was allocated 1.6, as at March, it was sitting at 1 billion, making it 65%. And with the commitments that are in the pipeline, and in fact some of these have already been cleared, because this this was as at 14th of March, we're projecting about, including the commitments, we're projecting about 79%. ICT infrastructure development, and maybe one point to mention here, Chair, the reason why out of a budget of 1.6, we'll be looking at 1.2 is because of the projects that were dependent on the TTT standards. I did mention the USAF, 180 million. I did mention the 112 call center, which should have been implemented but was put on hold by the former DG. Unfortunately, because of those projects, we would not be able to spend the entire 1.6, but the 1.2 billion. In ICT infrastructure development, 66 million. Expenditure is at March 14th of March, 37 million, 55%. One of the major reasons here, Chair, is that there's an amount of 111 million which was allocated for 112 emergency call center. Unfortunately, this amount could not be spent completely because of the fact that when the new Director General joined the department, she actually put the project on hold, and in fact, the project was almost ready for implementation, but she felt that she needed to do a review, and that's why the department could not really move on this area. It's actually mentioned there as 111 million. On the Presidential National Commission, which was allocated 34 million, expenditure as of March was sitting at 23, constituting 69%, and with the commitments, we're looking at about 78%, and the total or the grand total out of a budget of 2.1 billion as at March, we're sitting at 1.3, excluding commitments. With the commitments, the budget was slightly would obviously be around 1.6, and I think the main reason here, Honorable Chair, is that the main projects, CENTEC, USAF, as well as the 112, are the ones really that contributed to the situation, and mainly because of the delays in the announcement of the standards. So all in all, by end of this month, we're looking at an expenditure of about 75.4%. In conclusion, Honourable Chair, the spending has been, we can safely say that the spending has been increased in the department. Of course, it was done in compliance with the PFMA. This is one area that we really had to emphasize, given the fact that the Auditor General did identify some areas of weaknesses in the department, and we really felt that it was important to make sure that the key internal controls were put in place and people were able to comply with the PFMA as well as Treasury regulations. A culture of compliance is evident in the department, and one of the measures that we have taken as well was to make sure that all the responsibility managers are trained on SCM and the budget process. This was done precisely to make sure that everyone in the department knows the importance of complying, because in the past we had a situation whereby, for example, you'll have people appointed as responsibility managers but not necessarily having the necessary knowledge and skills required to make sure that they are able to comply. An example could be, Honorable Chair, a situation whereby you appoint a technical person, maybe from the private sector, not knowing much about the PFMA, and they tend to flout procurement processes. And we had to make sure that this training was rendered to all the managers. It is now a prerequisite that all the officials be trained before being appointed as responsibility managers to precisely avoid a situation whereby the public funds are spent recklessly. The priority projects have been identified and submitted beginning of the year, submitted to the bid committee, and majority of such projects are currently being implemented and are almost nearing completion. So we really had to do the balancing act, Honorable Chair, wherein we looked at increasing the spending prudently but making sure that we do it within the context of compliance or complying with the relevant legislation as well as treasury regulation. I think that should be all, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Vlakosi. Just a few concluding remarks. As we've indicated, Honorable Chairperson, this year was a very, very difficult year. I took over as acting DJ only in July of last year. And to give you a sense of the problems, I had to work through plus minus 800 submissions, a backlog of 800 submissions, including submissions for projects. So we could, and for me also to understand the nature of the projects and the programs, that took some time. And that is, I think, had a serious impact on our spending patterns. I think we have done a fair deal to rectify the situation, to take us to the projected 75%, and I think even higher than that by the end of this month. And also, we've made sure that going into the new financial year, that we will be much more focused. We've identified focus areas, flagship projects, and staff, people, managers are already working on getting their funding processes sorted out for the next financial year. So that is it, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Honourable members,
there is the presentation. Honourable Kharazman and Honourable Mash.
Chair, if you look at this report, and I must tell you that it is not a good advertisement for the department. I heard the explanations, but I also want to ask if they can provide us with the letters when they took their decisions, when they addressed the issues, that will assist us. My question is there an organigram of the organization at the end of December at the end of September and at the end of December, then we can see what was the improvement of the filling of the vacancies.
If I'm correctly saying, you're looking for the organogram
at different times. And then also the decisions that the Honourable Member of the Honourable Michelle mentioned here, the times that they address the issues. If we can have the decisions of the department in this regard. I'm still concerned that the 75% will tell you that will send out not a good message. The other thing is the use of the DDT standards. the delay of the finalization of the DTT standards. What was the delay? And who was responsible for that delay? The matter has been finalized. Can we have a copy of this finalization of this issue? But I want to find out who was responsible for the delay of this DTT standard. Because it comes when you do one thing, and that say that management cannot run away from their responsibilities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My initial concern was also the DTT standard, because it seems if they are not in place, nothing can be done, even accessing the finances that need to be accessed, but it's covered. And with the filling the vacancies, I actually didn't say organogram, I said the list of posts that were filled and those that are not filled, because the impression we get here is that vacancies are now filled, which vacancies and which are not filled. If we can get that list, I think that even you knew that was going to be a question. If you had just attached it somewhere, it would have served the purpose. And this, the call center, the projection that you'll only be able to spend 1.9%, is it what you said? It is very, very concerning, because when we talk about the call center, it seems that's the backbone of a lot of things. People always phone call centers when we need some advice and help. And if it was on hold, there must have been a problem, a very, very big problem. And I wish we should have known. We could be told why the former DG decided to put it on hold, and what, after reviewing it, did you review it, or did, because it was on hold for review, did you actually say, no, we don't review it anymore, we'll just start from here? Was it not a concern anymore? Because if it was for review, the review should have been done and said, no, the DG really didn't have a cause for concern, but it just reviewed, and 1.9% is going to be spent on it. And you talk about the priority projects that are being identified and submitted to the BID committee. If we can have an idea of those priority projects, because as a committee, our concern is the people out there. Are these priority projects still aligned to our strategic plan? Are they going to achieve the objectives you set aside, and how and when, because your budget is already backward? Is it a revised bid that you submitted, or you just said, we submit this project, but we as public representatives want to know what the people are going to benefit out of this priority project based on your strategic plan? And if you can explain this FIFA amount that was not transferred, what is going to happen to it now? Because you say it's not transferred, and if it's 0% transferred, it seems we didn't need it. So what's going to happen about it now? Because that money is there, and it was there for a purpose. Thank you.
I think Dr. Weso, you indicating that you started acting in July. That's precisely why we were asking Mr. Vilakazi to tell us exactly what happened by when. Because if you say no, we met this entity, everything was sorted out, by when? The report that goes to National Treasury is normally signed off by the head of department. Let's agree on that first. Are you agreeing that the head of department signs off the report that goes to National Treasury, National Treasury publicizes that report? Is that correct? Well, if it is correct, then it means that what you presented today and what you presented to National Treasury is not the same. Because National Treasury tells us, just starting with the last one that Honorable Mashiko raises about this FIFA World Cup amount that was outstanding. At the end of December, and I think that you also confirming that there has been no, what you call, nothing was transferred. Yeah. But in one slide there, your slides are not numbered. You're saying that it's in line with drawing. I don't understand what that means. South African Post Office, nothing was transferred, and your report says it's in line with drawings. What does it mean? What this report, that's why then I would like maybe the acting head of department to explain to us whether this report was signed off or not signed off, because what you're presenting today and the report that we got from National Treasury are not the same. USASA. Say it was rectified. I don't know by when. Because at the time you transferred this report. That's why Dr. Weso, we asked him when was this rectification done? If there was any rectification, when was it done? Because on the spending side, it does not reflect that anything was rectified until it reflects here. Only then that we can be able to understand. Maybe it was rectified this January 2011, in fact, for this quarter. If that's what you mean, please let us know your universal service fund. Nothing was transferred to SABC. Nothing was transferred. Channel Africa, Public Protector, Santec. This program was on the program of, I think also it has been raised around the infrastructure. You have here 55%, but we have here, according to National Treasury, is 17% was spent. Now, I think that there's also on another slide, I think slide 7. You can put up slide, your slide. On infrastructure. It shows that here, our report shows that you were given 177 million. Here you're showing, it is combining both infrastructure and emergency, what you call it, it means 177 or 168. By those combined, the expenditure was 17.83%.
Now, you're showing that it was at, one was 55%, or is it emergency call that brought it down to 17%. But if that is it may, clearly, I think my colleague has raised the issue of your organogram. How then can we really say now, at the end of the third quarter, at the end of the fourth quarter, you would have spent about 75%, but let's just be fair to ourselves. At the end of third quarter, after 9 months, we're only able to spend 45 cents. In 3 months' time, we'll take, you know, that leap of 30%. In 3 months' time, we couldn't do it in 9 months, we can do it in 3 months. What is the magic word that we're going to be? What is it? How are we? How is this going to happen? Are we really going to spend the money, or want to throw the money to some project so that it looks like that there is an expenditure up to 75%? If we're not able to spend, why don't we leave it there and spend whatever you can? And spend, but tell us, what are you planning to do to turn things around? Honourable Member is asking about the organogram. In other words, what is the problem? Has it got to do with your staffing? Where is the problem exactly? Because from what is presented, it's difficult for us to understand. Maybe you can explain to us. Please ask.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'll go through some of the questions, and Mr. Blakasi will assist me. The organogram issue, you know, many of the things that happened in terms of spending were actually things beyond our control. For example, Mr. Blakasi can also explain the DTT matter. That was dependent on processes beyond our control, the same with 112. The problem is that with the organogram, the former DG came in and she put a moratorium on the appointment of senior staff members until such time that a review has been done. So there was an institutional review initiated by the former DG. When I arrived, that process was in place. We could not appoint former a senior staff. But what we did immediately was to identify critical positions in the department that we have to fill. And at that time, there was a current organogram, an approved organogram, and there was already the research was done by July, August, in terms of what a possible new department would look like. So we then sat down and said, well, I mean, what are the critical positions, those in the current organogram and those that the researchers found will have to be in a new organogram, and we've advertised those positions the beginning of this year, and those positions are being filled now. So that was the problem that we faced with the organogram. The new organizational structure is on the minister's desk, en route to the DPSA as we speak. So the whole new institutional arrangement will be sorted out within the next week or two.
Sorry, with respect, Dr. Wilson. The other DG, when did she last work for this department, by the way?
She left July.
July
last year.
When she started working. Otherwise, by the time you sent to us, by the time you started working, there was a review of the institution. Now, we are in the end, at the end of the year, 9 months later now. We have not been able to implement this review. It's only now that is on the desk of the minister. Am I getting you correctly?
Yes, I mean.
And how long is it going then to take as well to take another decision to ensure that we can serve the people of South Africa and the Department of Communications can play? I mean, it's an important role that it's supposed to play. When are we going to do this? How long is it going to take for us in order to do this? Because clearly, in order just to put your new structure on the water column, it took you 9 months to put it on the water column, or let's say 7 months. Now, we don't know how long it is going to take him there to say this is the structure that can really take the department forward.
Honorable Chair, the problem that we've had is when we were just about to deal with the institutional review and took the documents to the former minister when he was released of his position. Then a new minister came on board, and of course we had to take him through. He had to find his feet in the department. We had to take him through, you know, also in terms of advertising and for a new DG. So we've done that before the end of the holiday season. So to advertise positions, you know, in December would not have made any sense. So we've advertised the beginning of this year in January. So it was just a problem of new minister processes in the department, the time of the year that we struggled with in terms of getting documentation through the different processes. But we've done our best. It's a long process to get these things done. And we at last we now ready with, as far as the new institutional organization will is concerned. And as I've said, we have advertised for a new DG. And 25 critical positions are being filled as we speak. So it was just a situation where we were caught up in processes beyond our control, Honourable Chairperson. The issue around the delay of the digital terrestrial problem. That was a problem beyond our control as well. The former DG, when she arrived, put a hold on that process and suggested a different standard. And Mr. Lakasi can perhaps explain that in more detail. That standard took us then to Brazil and to many other countries. And also, of course, we had to align ourselves with international procedures. But I think Mr. Vlakasi can explain why the delay was then.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, and thanks, Honorable Chair. The issue around the DTT standard, it was a subject issue wherein the SADC ministers of communications took a decision to say, because basically what happened was that the standard that was initially adopted was an European standard, the DVB-T standard. Now, the SADC ministers took a view that perhaps there was a need to look into a standard which was more developmental. And that's why there was then a proposal around the Japanese standard. That process led to a delay in terms of implementation of the digital migration, because the time it took to consult and visit countries like the acting DG has indicated that there was a visit to Brazil and so on to try and look into this Japanese standard. So as a result, projects could not be implemented, nothing could really happen. That's why the USASA subsidies could not be dispersed, because they were dependent on the standards being pronounced. And when the new minister then came on board, he then engaged with the SADC ministers, and a decision was taken to say that the country will then adopt the European standard, which was originally the standard that was agreed upon in 2006. So that's why the minister, early this year, he made an announcement that the European standard will be adopted for digital migration in South Africa, and therefore, with that, the funding would be spent. And I think that there was another issue around I think I did address this issue to say who was responsible. I think it was a collective decision of the SADC ministers. The issue around the call center, the 112 call center, the process was initiated. Service providers were engaged. It was going to be done as a PPP project. The new DG, when she came on board, she felt that she needed to review this model to say, is it worth it to continue having this call center operating where it used to operate? It was actually based in Strand, here in the Western Cape. She was of the view that as a department, we needed to review this to check whether we're getting more value from the call center as it was structured. That was done after a visit and a review of the call center itself to say, is it really serving the South Africans the way it should be doing? And her decision at that time, she came to a conclusion that the call center was not really effective as it should be, and therefore it needed to be reviewed. And therefore, that's why she actually stopped the project. The FIFA amount of 150 million, this money was meant for, or is meant for, FIFA legacy projects, and those are mainly connectivity projects. Now, unfortunately...
Sorry, Mr. Brewer, just before you, just for our sake. Now, in other words, what you're saying about this emergency call center, has it been stopped now? What is the latest decision?
Honorable Chair, the project has been revived by the current leadership in the department. It's going to be implemented. In fact, already there is a service provider on board who has been engaged to try and assist in reviving the project. It's going to be operational as from the 1st of... The actual call center would not be operational by 1st of April, because it's a PPP project which takes about 9 to 10 months. So we're anticipating that the project will be up and running sometime later in the financial year, which is the new financial year. But a decision has been taken by the current leadership to make sure to revive the project. So it is running.
Just on a point of clarity, Chair, I'd like to find the project prior to it being unilaterally terminated, was it a PPP project at the time? And if so, what contractual obligations did the department have in that? Because to me, it seems very strange that a head of department can unilaterally terminate projects that came before this House and were passed by the House in a budget.
What were the implications?
Honorable Chair, by the time when the former DG terminated the project, the service provider who was engaged, their contract were almost coming to an end. So another process was started wherein service providers were invited, the bids were adjudicated, In fact, I must say that when the former DG came, she came at a point whereby the contract was almost about to be awarded. There were no financial implications because the previous service provider, their contract were almost coming to an end. She just came at a point whereby we were supposed to award the contract because everything else was done. The projects were, the tenders were evaluated, recommendations were made. But she felt that, she actually did a review. And she insisted at that time that it was not worth pursuing the, well, some officials in the department, they did try to put a counter argument to say, you cannot allow a process as long as this one to run where you invite service providers, you do evaluations and so on and so on. And then when you're supposed to award, all of a sudden then it stops. But she was fairly adamant that she could not proceed with the project the way it was. And given that she was the accounting officer, unfortunately, that's how we really ended up in this situation, Honorable Chair. But I must indicate that the current, the acting DG and the minister, they have activated that process. We are trying by all means to make sure that in the new financial year, this project is up and running. Okay, maybe before the SABC, Honorable Chair, on the FIFA amount, the 150 million, I did indicate that this amount was meant for legacy projects. Mainly these are connectivity projects, connectivity to schools, clinics, and so on. This money will be transferred by end of this month. The reason being that there is a lot of work that has to happen before the actual transfer takes place. So there has been work going on in the department. The only problem is that there were no financial implications during that process. So the money will be transferred to Telkom for connectivity purposes because they had to do certain processes first, the procurement and so on, and the actual payment will only happen end of this month on our chair. The SABC, Honorable Chair, we're giving the SABC, I think there are two small amounts that we're giving them. It's for the public broadcaster. They use that mainly for technology, as well as for the content. And then there's also SABC Channel Africa, which is on track. So the SABC, the delay that we had with the SABC was the fact that where they are procuring technology, because they are procuring it from overseas suppliers, there is a lengthy process of negotiating contracts, lead times, and so on. And therefore, we took a view as a department that it's not worth, or it doesn't make sense to transfer money. Meanwhile, there are still certain processes in place. Literally saying that we needed to transfer money only when SABC would say to us, we are ready, everything else is sorted out. So that's really what caused the delay, Honorable Chair. I think the Honorable Chair also did mention an issue around the elections. We do invite entities from time to time, once or so in a year, to put in additional requests for funding, which the SABC did not, and we did engage them on that issue. And I think we are satisfied as a department that around local government elections, the SABC will be able to cover without any challenges. So we did engage them on that issue, Chair.
There's another issue raised around, whether we still implement according to our strategic plan the projects and the programs. I can assure the committee that what we're implementing are strictly in alignment with our strategic plan. No new projects or last minute projects that we embarking upon. So that is very important to us that money is not spent on things that's not in our strategic plan.
we rather will give money back. But I think a lot of work has been done, you know, towards the end of last year. And as you know, December is normally a dead month. And we've worked very hard until October, November last year to get things in place, understand the programs, understand the projects, making sure that we spend our money properly according to PFMA. And that is why from late last year, beginning of January, we could put out our tenders again. We could proceed with the implementation of our projects. So really last year was very trying, and we've done our best to get our projects and our money spent in a proper and prudent way.
Thanks, Chair. I'm just trying to make some sense of the numbers around the emergency call center, the tranches. I'm assuming that the 111.9 million was based on historic figures and maybe taking into account escalation, etc., to do that budget. To be plus minus 9 million a month. And your expenditure was 2.1, so the previous service provider was paid, really, their contract would have expired 1 week into the new financial year if we look at those numbers. That means that this whole financial year there's been no call center. That money, I don't know if the department...
Sorry, honourable member, we are informed that it was stopped.
I know that, Chair, I'm getting to that. You see, to stop a tender 1 week into that financial year, if that was making some logical deduction on those numbers. Now, to stop a tender, you need good reasons to stop a tender, Chair. You can't just stop a tender. So what were those reasons to stop it? See, either they were suspicious of something within that process to stop it, or there wasn't budget. But clearly there was budget for this. So what was it that stopped it? Was it in accordance with policy to stop it? Or was it a different reason to stop it?
Chair, I'll just ask again about this telecom FIFA World Cup issue. Because I don't understand. Yes. Mm. Because I wish I understand what this legacy is, because it seems FIFA came with a lot of legacy programs out of Asian culture also has a legacy program. Can they meet some? Because when I think of telecom and the fact that it's open, is being connected to schools and ITC schools, that's why I get lost when we talk about this legacy issue. Is it the fact that you needed money to donate to schools so that you should also have legacy? Or what? Because I'm beginning to lose the meaning of legacy now. If we can just get what this legacy is and an example, a proper example of one program of this legacy project, so that a person can be clear that with the Department of Communication, their legacy program, even if it's installing ITC at schools, it's how they felt they should call it legacy project. I seem to listen, because I think of legacy as having to do with grounds and football teams. Maybe I don't understand soccer very well, and I can't relate it to this legacy project of SABC, except that they had to announce through broadcasting. Maybe if it can be clearer, I'll understand what legacy projects they're talking about. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm not sure when the budget was passed last year, and when the
this was the 2010-2011.
Yes, I'm saying I can't remember what date it was passed, and I'm not sure when the dates when the expanded committees were taking submissions from the departments. If this is right, and it was say 1 week or 1 or 2 weeks into the new financial year, the budget was passed after that, sometime afterwards. So when they were coming to ask for the 111 million, they knew they had already cancelled their contract. So what were they asking for that money for?
Yeah, I think that Dr. Wessel, there are problems. I think we have challenges because, for example, the question that has been asked that the budget appropriation was only passed around June. I can't make out the date. And now the question is, and I do sympathize with you that you were not the head of the department at the time. But at the time that it was passed, honorable members say that the committee was not informed that please ignore this program. We're not continuing with it. Perhaps to ask the question that from my side I was going to ask is I wanted to do this question as part of the summer, but maybe I should raise it now, that we have what is called the medium term expenditure framework, MTF. In other words, it makes us to be able to project that next year. I'm looking at your ENE. You can tell that 2012-2013 will be based on this amount. And all those are based on the projects that you would like to do the following year, roughly. These are the projects that you have in you, you're going to carry on with. But really the issue is, Dr. Wessel, does MTF help us? Does it help? Or maybe it's better to just to do away with MTF so that everybody can say next year, come 2012, everybody surprised about what is it that you want to implement. Because the reason for that is that the reason for having MTF in place is to assist departments to plan. So there should be predictability to everybody in the department should have an idea that if it's a program that is going to roll over time, everyone is aware that this time is going to take us this amount to spend for this particular year. But if we set budget, then we plan. Is it assisting anybody? Because in what you have, what we have had is that now you're busy planning. For instance, with the emergency call center, that now is going to be a triple P program. It may start, Mr. Vilakase, it takes about 6 months to conclude. Now we are in March. It means that it's going to start around September. Now, I mean, the question that we are raising, does MTF assist us, or we should do away with it so that one day someone is asleep, you think about what project you want to implement, then you implement that project. I mean, there's no planning there. just something that anybody can think about it. Is it what we want to do? Or how do you think that, I really would like the department to assist us. How do you think that we should do the projection? Should it project or should we have a... I'm not sure how to put it so that you can understand what I really want to say. Because my understanding is that if you go to National Treasury and say National Treasury would like to give us this amount, it's because you say you want to spend it on these issues. But only to find that there's no spending anyway for those issues. Now, the suggestion is, how do you think that we should approach? Because we're not going to be able to answer those questions if we have MTF, because MTF would mean that there should be planning for this thing. Here, we're not planning. We're implementing. We think on our feet. Now, this is what we think that we can do, and it's not going to apply now because we're thinking on our feet. But now, we are in the middle of the budget. What should we do, for instance, about your budget? Should we approve your budget? On what basis? What is it that has been planned? Does this what you call estimates of national expenditure, are they a true reflection of what is happening in the department, or is still going to plan? Because that's what we must tell Parliament to do right now. What is here actually is not a true reflection. We're still thinking whether to do this or do that. Or even for those projects that we think that would be, just talk about your legacy, what you call a project. 2006, we knew that the World Cup, Soccer World Cup would come to South Africa. Each department was asked to identify your legacy project. The communications as well did identify. But it looks like even after when the World Cup is gone, we're still thinking whether this legacy, what you call a project, should really work. And the poor schools there, they were promised that you will receive this as part of this legacy, what you call a thing. That is why I'm asking. We really want to call it, appealing to you just to tell us. Do you think that there should be planning, or we should wait for you on the morning you decided something that now we think that the short now is going to work? What we had yesterday, we had on the NDA, on the strategic planning, on your annual performance plan, is no longer working now. We're doing away with that. We have some new ideas now. How should it work?
Honorable Chair, yes. I mean, I can't speak for people who were there before me, but yes, the MTEP is a very important mechanism. I indicated that we have already, at this point, identified the key projects and programs for the next financial year. Six major ones that we're working on at this point in time. And my instruction to the managers is that within the first month, we need to start spending and not wait until later in the year. So we've done our strategic plan. We've done our business plan. In other words, the absolute detail in terms of what projects to support government outcomes and the medium-term strategic framework. So we're ready for the new financial year in terms of our planning. And what I've done when I took over was actually to also take the business plan of the department and to see what was planned for the current financial year and to fast track some of those projects. And that is why we could now project 75% spent by the end, and I think even more. So yes, I think what we're spending is based on a well thought out strategic plan and business plan, and then we also have operational plans. We have quarterly reports
on what is being done, what projects are delayed, where there's no action. So we know exactly what it is that we're doing at any particular point in time. So and to get that system going, and because of the interruptions of this financial year and all the problems that we had to deal with, it took a little bit of time to get all these things ready, and we've done it in a very short space of time, in a few months' time, to get into the situation, develop systems, and so on. So planning, of course, that is of paramount importance, and that is what we're doing. And as I've indicated, we're already busy with operational plans beyond the business plan. The 112, I think, it's, you know, before my time. I know a little bit, but I think Mr. Blakasi knows more than about that, and the Telkom FIFA situation as well. For him to answer those questions, please.
Look, I'm not sure if Mr. Blakasi has anything with respect. I don't think that is helping. I don't know. I mean, the members can decide if they want to go. Because we are asking you a question, for instance, that after 9 months, you were at 45%. Now you're saying that in 3 months' time, you'll be able to spend another 30% to make it 75%. You're saying now even more than that. You know what Mr. Bilada said here? And if we're to revoke what they call it, the powers and privileges of Parliament, where people are not supposed to come here and tell things that are not true, you could touch it. I don't know if you will remember, but for me, I do remember, and I'm sure that the members remember. We are on the, we're at the time of the adjustment, where in the department was at 26%. It was around October. I may not remember the date. We want Mr. Blair to explain to us, why are you at 26%? The member says, no. Now things are fine now that the DG is gone now. They're actually at 40%. We say to him, no, please, don't tell us about that. We don't want to know where you are. We're only interested on the 26% as at the 30th of September. Now, it tells us about the progress that has been made, how really things now are moving. But for us, we can't prove whether, I mean, the authenticity of that. We cannot prove. But what comes before us, that at the end of December now, we find that it's not actually only 45 cents for the whole year that has been spent. Now, in other words, if it was then at the time that you were telling us it was 40%, so it means that between then and, at the end of September, October, you spent 5%. Now, the question that really, you may not want to call it, answer it, but I would like you to really think about, because as a committee, every year we deal with these things where people are not able to spend for 9 months and tell us that in the end. And the reality, you know what? They do spend this month. They're 45%. Come. I won't be surprised even if the Department of Communication has spent 100% at the end of end of March. We'll not be surprised. Because this happened with all the departments. But the issue is whether really this spending, is it the actual spending where you can show that here are the projects that have been spent or monies have been done somewhere in order to. So, to us, we would really appeal to people. This exercise, Dr. Weso, is not meant to find fault, but is to say you fail, we have all failed, including ourselves. It's not only the department that will have failed. We will all have failed. It is important that you succeed so that we can say we have succeeded. But we can only succeed if we're working together, we are told the truth, and we are able to say, but from our side, looking from the oversight point of view, we think this is not helping you. Now we say, these projects, there's something wrong with planning. And unless you improve on that, unless you improve on the issues of employment. And something that is strange to us, for instance, you find that the reports on the compensation of employees is high up there. But service delivery, very low. It's not, there is no correlation between the two. It's not only happening with communications. It's happening with many departments. That where are these people who really what you call it draw these monies for compensation of employees if they are not putting their what you call it, they are not giving efforts to ensure that the department does deliver what it is intended for. I don't know. I went to Zambia. I was looking for Channel Africa. Until I came back, I couldn't find it. Now, I wasn't surprised when I saw that there's no spending. It's been stopped. Now, Mr. Draga said, no, actually working. I don't understand what he is saying. I really don't understand. But I believe what National Treasury's report is saying, that there is no spending, because communication is not able to say that the report that was signed off to National Treasury as the 31st of March was approved by the head of the department, as it does with all the other departments. Then when did the spending start? Did it start outside after the 31st of? If it is after the 31st of December, we cannot call it. The report will tell us on the fourth quarter report. But I want you to conclude this now.
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Well, I mean, we prepared to provide you with any information that you need in terms of the spending patterns in the fourth quarter. I mean, that will be reflected in the
course. When you conclude, I want you to tell us how you're monitoring this entity. Because it doesn't make sense to have these allocations sitting there if they are not going to be utilized. They could be utilized elsewhere if these entities don't need them. So
yes, and the entities, I mean, we have now regular, at least once a month, and it was the past couple of weeks, you know, more than once a month, bilateral meetings. The minister meeting the boards of these entities, and I'm meeting with the officials, and sometimes we have joint meetings. We have monthly reports on these entities. In terms of compliance, we have to do compliance testing with these entities. So compliance testing, regular reports on what's happening, how they're spending. We have a schedule in terms of when they will draw down money based on what they've done. So it's not just giving the money and the money is sitting there. We have regular a schedule that we use to regulate that. So in terms of managing, and that is, you know, our SOE environment in the country is problematic, but we've tried now to say, well, let us understand and make sure that our entities do
do work in alignment with the government strategy, and government strategy that is and is ongoing and in terms of our planning as well going into the future. The institutional review, in terms of that, there will be a special unit in the department that will do that now as well. So we make 100% sure. The Telkom FIFA situation, you know, we also have to wait for the close out, what they call close out reports. So after June last year, there were people working on to make sure that everything was done according to plan, within budget and so on. And those close out reports are only now finalized. So the legacy projects will include all the technology projects as well. I mean, the satellite facilities and all of those things that are now being transferred to cities so they can use it as legacy projects. Similarly, there was agreement that some of these technologies will have to be used in terms of connecting schools and so forth and so on. So those projects only fall now into place after the close-out reports have been done of it, because it's a big thing, so it's only now being finalized. The 112, really, that is for us a problem, but of course it was, I don't know the extra detail. We can provide the detail if there's a need for it, exactly what happened, and I will commit myself to that, to provide the committee with a full report on the 112 project, and also a full report on the legacy FIFA project, so that we know what we're talking about and we have the facts on the table as far as those are concerned. Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of planning and preparing for the next financial year, I think we are there. We have done our planning. We've announced the six flagship projects, we call them, broadband, DDT, e-skills, rural development, and so on. So we're planning for that. So as far as I'm concerned, in terms of my planning for the new financial year, it is all systems go. So if you need that detailed information, I can provide it to you, Honorable Chairperson.
You want to? Yes, I wanted you to make a comment before we draw the slide.
Thank you very much, the Honorable Chair. In fact, our assessment of the DOC budget, I mean, in the trying to establish where the problems could be, has indicated that one of the key challenges is the unit that is responsible for all the entities is weak. So we have engagement with the department that it has to be strengthened by ensuring that the team that is there understands technical issues within SABC, Centec, and so on, and also thinking strategically to assist the entities in responding to the budget. For example, if SABC did not budget for elections, the unit is supposed to guide SABC to say, this is what you need in order to move forward. In fact, before I forget, the elections issues, we have responded, I mean the funding for elections, we have responded to that in the budget review. I can't remember the exact amount that is in there, the budget review report that we sent to Parliament. So that has been responded to. What I'm saying is that what you should provide the honorable members is how is the department going to strengthen that unit to ensure that the challenges in SABC, USASA, Centec, and so on will be addressed. And our advice has been it needs to be strengthened with the technical people who understand it. We know at the moment there is vacancies in some of the key positions responsible for all these entities. That's why we've got problems. And we have engaged USASA as well. We know that their business plan was very weak. We discussed that with them, with some members from the department to look at possible solutions. And so far, they have reviewed that, they have submitted it to you, and they've also submitted it to us. And in the case of USAF, of course, the funds were earmarked. There was no way that they could spend it for other issues. beside what has been allocated for. But what we advised the departments to was to ensure that the STP boxes that will be funded by the state should make provision for two-way communication. That is taking into account the 450 million that we have allocated for broadband infrastructure. So that we have to take into account. And with that, thank you very much. And as I say, the key problem is the unit responsible for entities. It needs to be technically strengthened.
Chairperson, can I think it's very important. I think we took advice very seriously. We have now strengthened that component in the department. Up till now, it was merely checking for compliance. But a colleague is right. I mean, we need to have a unit that can give strategic direction. So what we've done is we've lifted the profile of that unit to a DDG with specialists that will run SABC for us and all of, you know, the whole broadcasting environment, and specialists dealing with telecommunications and postal. So we've strengthened that in a serious way going forward, and we think that we will be able to have our finger in those environments. And on top of that, we have proposed a dedicated, don't want to call it a council, but a dedicated entity of experts from outside of government to advise the minister. So there will be an autonomous outside entity that will advise the minister and will give them the kind of advice that we will need. And we have lifted the profile of the entity within the department. And those are all the things that we, part of our planning for the new financial years and also the way we structured the new organogram for the department to make sure that we can deliver on all our programs and projects in a proper way, Chairperson.
What you're saying that the new organogram will be ready by the end of the month?
Yes, it's on the minister's desk and due to the DPSA for approval. So that will be ready.
Well, thank you, Acting DG, but we would hope that the advice you're saying, that advice that National Telereferencing gave to yourself, you took it seriously, and hoping that now the unit will really be checked up to a senior level that is able to relate to yourself directly, rather than getting a report after people don't have access to the DG or whoever. I want to say that there are specific questions that were asked that we need to know, and you have undertaken to respond to those questions in writing, including the one for the legacy, because I think that the legacy work was meant to say how the poor people remember Soccer World Cup 22. And it's unfortunate that in most of the instances where it involves the poor, not much has really been done. But we'll wait for your we'll await your report. Thank you very much.
Do you want a 5 minute break or not, ma'am?
Okay, can we quickly take tea, then we convene at 4:15.
Stadium for?
No, I don't even know the figure level between the Y and human rights.
Oh, I hear good the Punjalakon. I don't have the means of transport to travel to such extent. If it's one I chance, don't talk about taking one.
Thank you. Honourable members, welcome back. And our guests, we must welcome the our colleagues from Water Affairs. So we only see one member, I'm sure others will be joining us. Thank you very much for joining us. Please feel free to participate. You're part of us. You're part of us. Let's welcome Water Affairs. Water Affairs was here very late, 9 o'clock. Thank you very much for being patient with us. I understand that Madam Basso is the leader of the clerk. You're welcome. We don't want to invite you every day. And please make us not to invite you every day. The expenditure is not very high. So we would really like you, or we would want to help with you, to work with you, to ensure that at least we improve. Where we can, but sometimes we get worried that maybe we're not appreciated. And if we go back and find that, still find the same problem, the issue that we're raising with the communication, I'm sure that will raise with the other things to say, does MTF assist us to achieve our goals? Because the reason we are raising this question is our planning is not sometimes really up to scratch. It's what is it that can be done to ensure that we at least there's planning. Your department is a very important department in terms of providing water to the country. But it has as well challenges. Unfortunately, it has challenges on very strategic program that would really like you to take us through in terms of what are the challenges, what is being done to overcome these challenges. You have 25 past now. I'm sure 45 minutes will be fine for you. Okay, 10 to, I'm sure. No, 45 minutes. That would be, we don't have that pleasure. We hope that by 12 o'clock you'll be done. Over to you, Madam.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Good morning. Let me start by tendering an apology from the acting DG, Mr. Trevor Bazza. He has to see a doctor today. But I have here a team with me that will help me go through the presentation, but more importantly, to answer questions that are program specific, because they are the program managers, so they have the details. Chair, I must say, being here at 9 o'clock and having gone through the presentation by communications and the kind of questions that members are concerned about helped a lot. So in trying to respond and in presenting, we will try by all means to sort of anticipate some of the questions and provide more information. Chair, we have the acting CFO, Ms. Ntabise Mfunda Kubi. We have the program manager for the one of the...
Honourable Member, to inform you that now Generations is presenting, you know, everyone is acting. Okay.
Yes, Chair, that's quite true. There's also Philip Otter, who is also for Chief Director in the Finance Section. Lerato Mukwena is the Program Manager for the Regional Bank Infrastructure Program. That's one of the key drivers in terms of our budget. She is acting chair. And over here is Babalwa. Babalwa is the Director of Strategic Support in the department responsible for Parliament in the Office of the DG. And I'm the acting DG today. Chair, if I can just start with a little bit of context. I think the situation in the department is similar, if not worse, to the situation in the department that you've just dealt with. Honourable members may be aware that, first of all, we had the suspension of our former DG, Ms. Pam Nyako, and then in November, we had... also the suspension of our acting DG, who was the DG responsible for, in her portfolio, she was responsible for corporate services. And we also had our CFO suspended. That is why we have the acting DG. And of course, we have the new minister. So all of these, Chair, do bring some form of instability in one way or the other in the organization. But it also comes, of course, with new things and new direction of doing things. So what you see here, as we go into the programs in detail, you will be able to pick up some of the impact of these changes in the organization. However, Chair, as we know that you've indicated that we are a very important department, communities are not interested in our kind of dynamics. They are interested in getting water. And we have a responsibility to make sure that we keep our eye on the ball in terms of providing water security in the country. Chair, with your permission, we would like to approach our presentation differently. The CFO will go through the presentation and highlight the expenditure trends, but when it comes to specific challenges, I would like to call on the team members to speak to their specific challenges. Okay, all right. Having said that, Chair, then I'm going to invite the acting CFO to take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. I'll start presenting to you the third quarter report that was ending on the 31st of December. As we stood at that time, the spending of the department was at 62%, with various programs underspending on the budget that has been allocated. If we go through per program, program one was sitting at 58% at that time, and water management was sitting at 54%. If we go through the economic classification, our compensation of employees was sitting at 62%, goods services was sitting at 52%. Interest and land on land was 705. You realize that is a negative. That is something that we don't budget for. Those are the misclassifications that are happening in between the expenditure. We have financial transaction in assets and liabilities. We also don't budget for that. You will see that it's got a negative. That is as a result of theft and losses that has been written off. And we also have transfers and subsidies, which was sitting at 89%, and capital of assets was sitting at 3%. And that was a very high loan spending at 3%. But we will explain what could have been the problem set, but that is as a result of the outbreak payment made to the municipalities. The major project that was underspending at that time was the regional bank, which was sitting at 46%, and the water service operating subsidies that was sitting at 86%. Reason for underspending, mainly that is contributing to the underspending and which is still contributing at this stage, was the unfilled vacant post. That poses a challenge in the department. However, the department embarked on the recruitment drive to address the issue of the vacancy rate in the department. The process didn't go as smooth as we thought it would, not fast as we thought it would, but at this stage, the process is sitting where the interviews are being scheduled. The interviews are scheduled to take place in April, and the target date for appointments is May for this year. We also had the contributing factor of outstanding invoices of the big projects, big companies that we have an agreement in terms of the services that are providing to the department. Some of the invoices that have not been paid, it was due to the disputes that we have with those specific companies. But however, we have managed to solve some of the issues and the payments are going through. One other aspect was the incorrect submission of payment certificate through the ASIP project. The delays by the municipalities has contributed a bit in our spending. There were various challenges that were faced by the municipalities. Among others was to appoint the implementing agents in respect of the refurbishment of the wastewater treatment plant. We also had, we are still having the problem in terms of finalizing the transfer of staff to various municipalities. But that process, as we talk, it is moving. The target stage to have finalized all the transfers of staff to the municipalities is the 31st of March, and it's the number of 941 staff that needs to be transferred to various municipalities. And mostly of the municipalities are in Limpopo. One other aspect is issues related to HR. As a department, we were to embark on the climate survey program, but however, the proposal was not approved at that time. There was a proposal that HR has to go back to the previous survey that was conducted before this one can kick off, and therefore this program will only start in the next financial year. At that time, we were expecting to spend some funds in the last quarter. However, that has not realized, and it will not realize for this financial year. Delays in approval of the training and development plans, it also has an impact on the expenditure. We also have the wellness program in the department. However, there was a delay in terms of appointing the successful bidder to run with the program. Now that the service provider has been appointed, the program is going on, but it's going in a very slow pace. pay. Land distribution of the Matibamba Nepal Ranch was also it has an impact in the spending of the department. I've indicated that there were various challenges with the municipalities. Amongst them was also the appointment of mechanical and electrical contractors in the municipalities. Other issues that contributed that was made from the municipalities were long procurement and. Masbamban is a donor program that the department is the funds that are received through the donors. The program is called Masbamban. Other challenges that are from the municipalities is the long procurement of the municipalities. And delays caused by suppliers that supply the material to the municipalities. One of the issues that were highlighted was the import material that was supposed to have been received, but it was delayed. There were also some serious challenges that were encountered with the project that are around various regions in terms of the outbreak. But as the acting DG has indicated that the manager for the outbreak will take us through those various challenges. But just to indicate that from that period of 31st of December until now, the department has moved in terms of the expenditure. As on Friday, okay. I'll then hand over to the program manager for the outbreak to give us the details in terms of the challenges that were encountered. Thank you.
Chair, before I give over to the program manager, I think I need to make a distinction and categorize the kind of challenges that we're dealing with that are contributing to program management. There are challenges that are part and parcel of project management, which managers should be able to anticipate and plan for. That's why your question as to whether the MTEF budgeting process helps or not. That's where it comes in. So if you look at what we are listing there, for instance, the slow process of getting the material from the suppliers, those are some of the programs that one could try and plan for if things were being done properly. But Chair, there are challenges that are purely outside our sphere of influence and control. In one of the important programs, Regional Bulk Infrastructure Program, which is one of the key budget drivers, we have to unfortunately work with municipalities. In some cases, we transfer money to them, we rely on them, we rely on their procurement processes. There are dynamics, various dynamics that one has to deal with in that process. So in those cases, we could say our sphere of, or rather our ability to influence and to fast track things is a little bit delayed. I've also talked about some challenges that are now organizational in nature, where the incoming head of department would, for instance, want to question, is the manner in which we're doing things currently the right way? What should be ideally our delivery model, for instance? Should we use implementing agents as a department, or we should try and build capacity? Those are some of the debates that we've been having in the department, and inevitably, they really have slowed us down in some cases. For instance, we had a debate on whether we should use the implementing agents or we should try and build the program management capacity in the department. And whilst we were debating that, the fact of the matter is we lost some time in the process. Let me allow the program manager to speak to the RBIC program, Krishna Park Infrastructure Program.
Thank you, Acting DG, and thank you to the Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Not sure. I will start with this slide, that is slide number 7, that my acting DG and the acting CFO have talked to. Just to highlight that one of the delays as well is on the EIAs, the environmental impact assessment, that takes a long time for us to be able to get, for us to be able to continue with the project. In some cases, you've got WSAs that are reluctant to continue or to commit due to partial funding or tenders that are much higher than estimates. If you remember, or maybe I should just say the regional bulk, we only fund the social component of the infrastructure, whereas the WSA needs to come up with the economical funding for us to be able to complete the whole scheme. So if Water Services Authorities have to come up with the economical funding for us to be able to continue with the scheme. Okay. These are the main projects that we are encountering challenges in. In Limpopo, we've got the Giani Bulk Water Drought Relief. The allocation was 54 million, and there has been a differences in between the regional office, between Water Affairs and Mopani District, where we differed on the technical option that we needed to take, hence the sole process to finalize the implementation of the project and management intervention was needed. For us not to have underspending of that 54 million, we decided that whilst we are still trying to come to a solution with Mopani District Municipality, we will reallocate the funding to Olifantsport Waste Treatment, Water Treatment Works, and Mogalakwena Bulk Water System. Another one is Mameja Skororo Bulk Water Supply. We allocated 7 million, and we had also to reallocate that 7 million due to the design for the project has been completed without Water Affairs having a say on that design. So the designs are now back with Water Affairs for us to be able to look at them and agree on that kind of a design for that project. And all the monies that we have reallocated are going to be put back in this coming financial year starting on the 1st of April. The mode sale bulk water supply, we allocated 20 million because it was a ministerial, and it only came on board, I think, in around about October last year. So the approval process took some time. We only signed off the approval for Sikukuni to be the implementing agent now last week. So we will be able to spend that 13 million in this financial year. Two more projects in Mpumalanga that are giving us proof that were problematic was Akonhoek Bulk Water Supply, where we allocated 37 million. The municipality was the implementing agent, but along the way they decided that no, this is too big for them, so they said, Water Affairs, please implement this. So we had to go back to our DBAC for us to get the approvals, for us to have contractors and the like. So the contractors are only going to be on, they were supposed to be on site in the middle of February, but they are only going to be on site in April. So the money that we allocated there, we reallocated to the other projects in Eastern Cape and also in the Bloemendal project. The Bloemendal bulk water supply one, that 10 million that we allocated, we had an agreement on the Bloemendal. It's under Delmas. I don't know the name of the new Delmas. What is it called now? something, but under Delmas in Mpumalanga, where the agreement was between Rentwater, Water Affairs, and the Mpumalanga provincial government. Initially, we thought, they thought the scheme was going to cost about 84 million, but whilst they were doing the feasibility studies, the reality was that the scheme was going to cost more than that, which is double the amount. So we needed to re-sign the agreement again, because the Department of Water Affairs was going to contribute 27.5%, and Mpumalanga provincial government was also going to contribute 27.5% of the total budget, then the rest was going to be contributed by Rentwater. So because the money was now double, they had to go back now to our ministers, Water Affairs, and by Rentwater had to go back to their board for them to agree on that funding. I think those are the ones. Yes, I'm talking Bloemendal. 27% of the total budget, no matter what the total budget was going to be. There's one project again in Northwest. We all know the Madibeng Water Treatment Works, where Madibeng local municipalities under administration, and they requested our department to implement the project. Initially, the design was developed by a consulting engineer that was appointed by Madibeng. And when we came in, we found that the quality was very poor, hence we initiated that Magalis Water should be appointed, and it has been appointed by Water Affairs to implement the emergency work and to develop the design. So the money that we allocated out of 20 million, we had to reallocate 8 million to other working projects. Free State, the self-contained bulk water supply, the program has been going very well. Whereas we encountered problems with the contractors, but it has been resolved, and the process of supplying the steel pipes takes longer. So because it takes longer, so the money had to be reallocated to the Eastern Cape, so that when the pipes come in the first week of April, then we can be able to pay them out of 2011-2012 budget. I have to say that, remember that the regional bulk infrastructure program is a Schedule 7, so we don't transfer money to municipalities, but we pay per work done. So in cases where the pipes are not there, even if we have committed to pay the municipalities, but if the pipes are not there, then they are not able to claim for that money. Because before we pay, we have to go and verify that the pipes are there, work has been done, then we are able to pay. That is why there is some delays in payments from our side. Okay. Thank you.
We will require guidance from you because now we're ready to get into the where we are currently as a department in terms of expenditure. Or maybe we should conclude on the previous presentation before we get to this part of the discussion. We are in your hands.
Question that we raised with the communication that you can respond to is in terms of whether you looking at overspending or underspending by the end of the year.
Sure. Chair, I will ask the CFO to respond to that. Before she does, I would just like to give the committee and yourself, Chair, an idea of the kind of mechanisms that have been put in place to
to make sure that we fast track the spending. We indicated earlier on that we work with municipalities. In some programs, we actually work through them. So in cases where there were disputes relating to what kind of design, for instance, should be used, differences in technical approach or differences in just the implementation of the project, and these cause delays, mechanisms had to be put in place to fast-track that. So in some cases, we had to seek political intervention from the Office of the Minister to help us to deal with this. Limpopo is one of them. So that is speaking to one mechanism that we put in place. In some cases, the disputes were around, Chair, I'm giving this explanation so that we give you a sense of comfort in terms of why the improvement could have been big if it's going to be big, so that you understand the drivers and what interventions we have put in place. In some cases, the delays, as indicated by the acting CFO, were due to inaccuracies in the invoices. Obviously, that really requires the financial managers to sit down and sort those out with the service providers. That has been done. Chair, in some cases, we have asked, in most cases, our regional managers to physically go to the municipalities and make sure that they produce invoices. That is what we've been busy with for the last month or so. So that process really yielded results in the sense that municipalities were able, we all understand the challenges at local government level, especially when it comes to project management and financial management. They really needed some assistance. So with the new invoices that have come from municipalities, definitely there will be a positive impact on our spending. But in addition to that, in the regional offices and at head office, we have been working overtime, over weekends as well, to make sure that we process all the invoices so that we don't end up with unpaid invoices at the end of the financial year. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson. It does give indeed a little bit of comfort to hear the officials coming up front with regard to the issues of challenges at local government in particular to address these things. But Chairperson, I hope I'm not going to be unpopular again. But truth be told, I've been too much in trouble. I hope I'll be safe this time. But truth be told, Chairperson, that, you know, it talks to the issue of bad management. Because here you find a situation where the funds have been appropriated. Halfway through the year, you find that there is no capacity to spend. Understand it. Then that is where outright I have a problem. Why do you do it in the first place without checking the capacity to spend? I mean, the slides here, I mean, Limpopo, it talks to that one issue. The money, 54 million has been spent. Halfway to the year, you find that these people have no capacity to spend. You reallocate. And I'm sitting here, how is that possible? I mean, how is that possible? You give Manda 54 million, and you only find, after you have given him 54 million, that
this person cannot spend this money. And then you reallocate funding. What kind of management is that? Yeah. I mean, no, let me stop there, Chairperson, before I spoil your day again.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the committee was very privileged to do some inspections at the De Hoop Dam in the Limpopo province. I think it was last year. And I'd like to get the progress of that dam. Is it on schedule? And then the second question of mine, Chairman, is that you say that you experience delays from municipalities, so much so that in the Giani project, you say that the region and the Mupani district municipality differed in technical options. But, Chair, what is very important is that the people on the ground, the ordinary people, they're suffering. I mean, we cannot allow institutions that they fight about turf. I'd like to know whether the department intends to set deadlines for them to stop their bickering and let them tell that their core mission is to provide services to the end users of the water there. I'd like to ask whether there are any plans or whether there are any strategies afoot to force these people to get their act together, Chair. Because water is a basic commodity, and we cannot allow the ordinary people and the end users not to have it, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Rabi. However, with respect to the work, my understanding of the committee was that as you correctly indicate, that we visited the dam Diwo and Nandoni, which I don't see in this presentation. Understanding was that since we visited, we want to make a follow-up, and therefore, I'm not sure the understanding was as a request. We would request the department to provide us with a follow-up on that. But I'm sure the department can respond, but we will still want to make that follow-up. Honorable Harapro.
Thank you, Chair. Two questions. The one is about under spending, and the other one is about over spending. The 29.8%. of the total allocation for regional bulk has been underspent at the third quarter. What are the reasons, and how could this affect or has affected service delivery? And my second one is about the reasons of over expenditure in the water management program. If they can explain for us there, because this program has spent up to 1.08 billion rand, or 45% more than its allocation of 750 million rand. If we can have clarity on this. That is the water management program. If we can get some clarity on this. Because there was over expenditure on this one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like some more explanation on this Masibambane fund and what causes the delay in the redistribution, late redistribution of this budget. Because I had to say it's a donor funding, which I think needs to be has to go directly to the people who need services. And then another one is you mentioned bulk infrastructure, where you say your problem is the working with the municipalities. But you have this, I think it's called the Water Services Act, which has to do with basic services, water supply, sanitation, and all. It's an act. I think it should be, you are the ones who should be using it as a tool. go with it to the municipality. And when you say you're having problems with the municipality, we want to know where do you experience these problems, because we have an act that tells you that the basic services needs to be given to the poor people out there. And your problems with the municipalities really shouldn't be that. You should see them doing whatever they do, unless as it comes to this one, where you say you have that big number of people going to the municipalities, you've deployed a certain number, 100 and something, I'm not this sure, 91 staff members, unless they go there to address that issue. Have you arranged with the municipalities? Will the municipalities see it as a service, helping them where they are lacking, and where does the DPSA come in? Because there are so many programs that help the municipality that we are going to find ourselves having you compensating people who will be at the municipalities, not knowing where they are doing and getting paid at the end of the month. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mashiko. Honorable Kevin, am I pronouncing your name correctly? Well, thank you. And Honorable Snell will follow.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to participate. I'm looking at slide 5. We talk about unfulfilled vacant posts, and the target date is 31st of May. Now, how many unfilled vacant posts did you have to start off with, and are you on track to reach the target date of May? Because I do recall in committee we thought that you'd set yourself an impossible target, and it would be interesting to hear how you're doing. My colleague asked on the Masipambane project. These are donor funds. As in health, we get the global fund, and there's a holding or a coordinating mechanism before those funds are distributed. Does that exist within your department? What is the problem with the distribution of that funds? Is it red tape? Is it about putting in your business plan? I don't pick up from here what the reason for the late allocation is. The money is sitting there. It's ready to be spent. That was on slide 6. On slide, it's reasons for under expenditure. The Mamecha, you've taken away the money from there and allocated to the Motse bulk water. So what happens to that project now? The design of the water project for the Mamecha was done without the consultation of the DWA. My question is, how do you make an award without actually seeing the project? You've allocated the project, then you think, whoa, now it's not good enough, so let me take the money away. But there has to be faultiness in your awarding, because you've got to see first what you're awarding your money for. And now you've taken the money and given it away to the Motse bulk water supply. So what happens to the other project? Page 9, Akon Hook bulk water supply. It is expected that the contractor will be on site in February. You now inform us that the contractor will only be coming in April. Now, when I read this, it says to me the contractor is holding the department to ransom. How are you allowing that? What does the contract say? If you cannot meet a particular deadline, what are the consequences? Why do we have this, you know, attitude of saying, well, they couldn't make February, April will be all right, you know. It's like, I'm sorry for your attitude. You know, your presentation, your earlier presentation, there are two key words that seem to dominate your presentation, slow and delay. And it's not acceptable. Page 10, the Madibeng water treatment works. The design developed by the consulting engineer was of poor quality. So what? I don't hear what you're doing about it. What are the costs involved? How are you going to recover that money? And what are you doing? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kayla. Honorable Snell.
Thanks, Chair.
Chair. The last time the department was with us, they expressed a concern that the mines that had committed to the Limpopo and Mpumalanga water reticulation projects had rescinded on their initial agreements with the department, and that they were no longer wanting to financially contribute to that scheme. Subsequent to the recession that we found ourselves in at that time of reporting, commodity prices have increased significantly, and I think actually above the prices that the contract was initially negotiated on. So have those mines come back on board, or are they still rescinding? And if they haven't, I can't see any cost pressures on your program that would indicate otherwise. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Nchoma, all right.
Just want to, one, appreciate the fact that for the first time you sent a presentation. We're only starting, I'm sure you will be, in future, we'll get them more. I think that the issue that perhaps worries me, Mr. March, is that you come to water affairs, you go to communication, you go to another department. If you're talking about program one, there's a disparity. Water affairs, program one means their own thing. Another department, program one is different from this department. Another department, there is no clear, what you call it, or uniform way of saying this is program one. What does program one deal with? If you're asking members, for instance, those of us who are not in the department, I can't tell you. We say water affairs program one, it means something different from another water program. When are we going to align this program one so that there's one understanding of program one? If you look at what are the intentions of program one, and you look at the allocation or sometimes you don't understand whether program one is sending the capital, is dealing with capital assets or what. Very difficult to understand. You see that by the allocation that you get in this program. Can we get at least something that is uniform, that is known, what is program one for, in any department across, so that you don't have a thinking that I look for why here department program one is a billion, when I think that program one is supposed to deal with administration or is recorded here as administration, but the issues that are dealing with are beyond that. The other issue, acting.
The first time I hear about that one, I hear about acting, but this one is acting.
The other issue that I think that we should really be understanding is that you are a department, you have got experience of the challenges that you get. For instance, I can't remember what program was that, but on issues of interest and rent on land,
it's something that you know that you will encounter because your work is about is on land and every year.
We are informed that you don't budget for that.
Why perhaps is it that you're not budgeting on something that you know that is going to cost you tomorrow? Shouldn't we budgeting for it then?
For it. The EIAs,
I think EIAs are a challenge. Not of your own making, but they are a challenge because of the time they take and what. But we want government. That is the Department of Environmental. Oh, now you water and environment. You water and environment. Why cry foul? You are water and environment. And I think that now legislation, unlike in the past, the previous legislation, you know, was just a freeway, would give people would take as much as they like. My understanding of the new legislation, it says within 30 days, this must have been done. Within set time frames, certain things need to be done. Is it assisting us? Is it not assisting us? Is it not assisting? What kind of improvement do you think that could be done in order to ensure that it's fast track?
Many comparisons have been made where South Africa and other countries in terms of development, economic development. Somewhere else, it's understood that within 3 months, not 3 months, maybe in a year's time, so you could set up a factory and start one. In South Africa, you will take ages. So what is it that can be done, perhaps, to ensure just that we fast track this thing? Is the current law not sufficient to deal with this? The issues of the challenges that you are encountering with the local government. My comrade stopped on the way. He wanted to ask questions, but I wanted him to ask. I mean, you transferring other staff to local government. I'm sure you're doing it so that you want the local government to understand exactly what is it that you are expecting from them to do. Is it helping? Why are we still encountering what we call the challenges in terms of what you want to do? But if you mean with the challenges that you are encountering, what is it that is being done to ensure that someone, I think Dr. Rati was saying, the people out there, they want what we call a service delivery. And I think, I suppose in your introduction, somebody said that and if people want water, they will not say, no, this is for local government, and we're not asking you. We'll ask the mayor. They say that you are in government. Why is it that we're not having water in this area, for instance? So what is it that you did indicate in terms of the what is being done? But I think that much, much more can be done to ensure that the issues of, these delays are not done. Sometimes, I might be wrong, sometimes we seem to conflate. I'm listening to the debate of the local government election. Sometimes the responsibilities that are not for local government, where local government has no competency, it gets blamed. I don't know even whether at this level we do that. No, that local government is supposed to do that. On issues where we know that we are supposed to be doing the responsibilities of local government in terms of the law, it looks like to me are clear. The responsibility of the department also are supposed to be clear. But where is it that we are conflating this issue so that we think that local government is not doing enough?
We were raising a question, and I thought that you understood. With the communications
said they are at 45%. They were at 45% at the end of December. Now they say, come.
31st of March. We'll be at 75%, even more. They are gone now. We ask them a question. When this magic when? What is this magic when that you're going to have in order to reach that when you could not do it in 9 months' time? They try to explain. We're not convinced. But here, sometimes there are those allocations of bulk water supply or water treatment and what that you're doing in some places. And some of the approvals are only done last week. I think you were saying. But you think that you will have spent 30 million, 20 million by then. How are we going to do these things? I would really like, are we going to do it such that the people in Mboni or whatever, they will be able to get water? I mean, there will be water treatment on the 1st of April when we have spent this money. Because I think that is the whole idea, is to ensure that the service is at the end of the day. Why don't we be realistic to ourselves and say, look, you're getting this 20 million now. We are expecting you in 2 months' time to have completed this work. Not in days. Today is 22nd of March. Now we're saying on the 31st of March, we'll have spent 13 million when the approval is made last week. Is that realistic? Is that realistic? Because I think that we should really be saying things that are realistic. And where you started, for instance, it was the issue of the MTF, which, again, the frustrating members as to exactly where are these bottlenecks that are making it difficult for, in terms of our coordination, because unless we're sitting here without a proper understanding, we assume that at the beginning of the year, when you go to National Treasury, say National Treasury, these are the projects that we want to do. The ENE is not as clear as the Division of Revenue. Division of Revenue is very clear. Division of Revenue says, if you want to go to National Treasury by August, by the 31st of August, you must provide some draft, what you call a project. By the 31st of October, you must have done a number of things. But now, where is it that we're losing it? Is it because the department has got the idea that we want to do this, but the ideas have not been done, that we know that they will be required in order for us to implement the project? Or there's no proper agreement with that municipality where this project is going to happen? Because we can't do it alone without cooperating with them. Where are we losing in this chain? We're losing it somewhere. But where, when we say to National Treasury, we're going to do it by such date? I'm worried about the question that Member Kelly and raised, is that by the end of May. No. By May, 31st May, we have employed, we have done the recruitment. I know people who have come to me and say, I've applied for this job, what's happening? In 2 months, in 3 months' time? No, there's no way, what do you call it? The department has not yet shortlisted. The teams have not been set up.
I see these things. People come frustrated. They want to do these things.
But now, I would have thought, for instance, that we knew by now where your challenges are. Say by the 31st of May,
somebody said, no, we couldn't do this because of those unfilled vacancies. Well, perhaps maybe the president has assisted to say those vacancies must be filled so that we can be able to do things that we're supposed to do. Just the last comment that I would like to make is the Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga is going to contribute 20%, 27%. Of how much? That's one thing. But two, it's not the competence of the provincial government to provide water. Why do we require 27% from Mpumalanga? No, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Obviously, this is going to be a team effort in responding to the questions. Yes. Chair, I would like to start by perhaps giving more background to these programs, maybe something that I omitted doing in the end. The key programs, in fact, today we just focused on the key programs that have contributed to understanding. And the two programs are Regional Bulk Infrastructure Branch that we call RBIC and the Transfers Program. Let me start by explaining how the Transfers Program works. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to answer to the very first question where the Honorable Member raised concern about how we manage funding as a department. When the program was initiated by the department in appreciation of the need for a special grant that would focus on building bulk infrastructure. You heard before in the municipality where the municipal infrastructure grant would provide funding for reticulation, but the municipality would have problems with the source, the very source, bulk infrastructure that's required to big infrastructure that's required to get water from the source, to develop the source in some cases, so that water can be actually be delivered to the municipality. One of the conditions that was attached to the grant was that in appreciation of the current challenges facing municipalities, their ability to manage the capacity, the need for technical capacity to manage such programs, we as a department would like to take responsibility for this grant and take responsibility to program manage. We said National Treasury wanted us to present a proper case that would convince them that we also had the capacity to do that and that we're not going to be burdening municipalities, some of which were already struggling with spending their MIG allocation. So we said we would be using our own entities. We said because of the complex nature of the of this infrastructure, we will make sure that as a department we get credible designers, engineers, all the technical expertise that's required. So with this grant, we don't transfer, but with municipalities that are showing capacity to implement, we do transfer. So what would happen is that we would sit with the municipality. We agree on the approach of the project itself, and that's where some disagreements would come. For obvious reasons, some municipalities would say, we want to procure. We don't agree with your service provider. We want our own service provider. Some cases, they would appoint service providers that don't have the capacity. That is why we're stuck in some cases with designs that don't meet the standards. And in some cases, we do not allow them to do that because we have the responsibility to make sure it's one of the conditions to make sure that there are proper designs and we cannot go against the conditions of the grant. So in cases where this happens, and this is the question that the doctor asked, in cases where there is lack of a common approach, or rather we don't agree, We don't budge, and this is exactly what happened in Mubani, where the municipal management was of the view that if you don't give us the permission to appoint our people, we're not gonna appoint. And we had an unfortunate situation in a needy municipality where the 54 million that was allocated could not be spent because the managers don't feel they agree with our approach. So this is where we called for political intervention. This was escalated to the Premier to intervene, and the Premier has since deployed the relevant politician to help us solve. So those are some of the interventions that we would try and deal with. Then we have the transfers program, where we are transferring money to the municipality to refurbish the infrastructure that we were managing as a department that we built before whilst we were responsible for the program to refurbish that infrastructure. Chair, we do have many incidents even here. Here we don't have an option but to transfer. That is the condition of DORA, as you indicated. But we do have cases where there is no capacity, technical capacity. Very few municipalities in the country have technical capacity and program management capacity. We have put mechanisms in place through our support programs to help these municipalities. But it's the first one is the Regional Park Infrastructure Program, and this one is the refurbished subsidy. What is the water services operating subsidy? So the money is transferred quarterly, and they have an obligation to put together a business plan on how the money is going to be spent. And at the end, they have to account for expenditure. We do have cases where, at the end, when they're supposed to account for expenditure, there's misalignment between what's on the ground in terms of what they've claimed for and what they have reported. So those are program management issues. But as the Honourable Member indicated earlier on, we have a responsibility as government to try and find solutions, proactive solutions, because right from the beginning, as the Honourable Member said, right from the beginning, when the money is allocated, you need to start thinking, how are you going to deal with the challenges that you encounter on a yearly basis? You know, the kind of challenges that you are aware of. We do have a support program. We invest a lot of money as a department in trying to support municipalities in dealing with their challenges. So I'll be talking at a later stage about what is being done. That's the question you ask. When we pick up these problems, what is it that we do? In response, Chair, to the question on the WOP, the information I have is that the WOP is indeed on track, and coincidentally, the Minister and the Premier were in the province to deal with the water services challenges in the program, but there are some problems around the relocation of some communities. But in as far as the schedule of the building of the dam is concerned, it is on track. What I do not have information on that I'm going to have to find out is the question that was asked by the Honourable Member there, whether the mines that were reluctant to come on board, is. I will make that information available. Chair, I believe we have I have touched on the delays on the what kind of mechanisms do you put in place. In such cases, in the interest of service delivery, when we're having disputes that are not really, don't matter when it comes to service delivery, we relocate the funding to other needy municipalities, preferably within the province. That is the action that was taken in the case of Mubani. That funding was relocated to other projects that have capacity to spend. Chair, I've taken note of the point that you made with regard to the need to follow up on the visit to Nandoni, and I suppose arrangements will have to be made afterwards and provide a progress report as well. Chair, I would like to answer the question of on the donor funding, why there were delays. In my introduction, I did indicate that the acting upon the suspension of the former DG, Ms. Pemiago, the then Minister, Minister Sonjitsa, appointed the acting DG, Ms. Nobubelengele, who was the DG that was responsible for corporate services. I'm going through very slowly explaining this because it has relevance in the response that I'm going to make. She was responsible for corporate services. She was now the head of the department. When she took over, there are many things that she really wanted to question the manner in which we were doing business. And that was coming from the concerns that had been raised, for instance, by the AG. So she really had a responsibility to apply her mind to how things were being done. So the kind of questions she was raising with the donor funding as well could be related to that. We didn't have a common understanding in the department as to how the funding was to be utilized. And the honorable members may be aware that this funding comes with specific conditions. You can't use it for any other condition other than that the donors have stipulated. So that is where the dispute was coming from. We just couldn't use the funding for any other condition use other than that was stipulated. But that's where the problems came in. There was a question asked about the problems that we're facing at local government level and the legislative framework that is supposed to guide us. I think more importantly, the Intergovernmental Relations Act that's supposed to guide how we work with municipalities. I must say all of those legislations do work. But I think the fact of the matter, which is something that our minister has given us a new direction on, is the constitution stipulates the roles and responsibilities of each sphere of government. But the reality is, local government in this country has serious problems, and they are at the core phase of service delivery. So if there are challenges at local government level, the minister has taken a stance that says, especially challenges that are related to water, then we have to make those challenges our challenge. Initially, we had taken an approach that moved us from being hands-on on water issues at local government level. We wanted to focus on our regulatory function, providing a regulatory framework for local government, adhering to standards, setting policies, etc. But with the challenges that everyone is beginning to appreciate, we are now taking a totally new approach. It's not new, something that we did initially, but we thought it was time for us to move on. So we're taking a stance now that says we're going to have to build our capacity to be hands-on when it comes to local government issues. So we're going to be much more proactive, much more hands-on in providing the support that they require. And we're hoping that the concerns that you raise will be dealt with. But we have to acknowledge that that's going to take resources, both in terms of human and financial resources. Chair, I'm going to try to move faster to allow my colleagues to come in and respond to some questions that I haven't dealt with. Unfilled vacant posts. Chair, in response to, we had a responsibility as a department to deal with vacant posts. But in response to the special call that was made by the President as well in his State of the Nation address, we ran a very unconventional recruitment process that wasn't liked by everyone, but with that process, it was so radical and aggressive. With that process, we can assure that we are working very hard to make sure that come end of May, our vacancy rate is reduced to, it's currently standing at 15.5%. We planning to reduce it to about 10%, which is the norm for an organization. Following that recruitment process, the interviewing panels have already been set and approved by top management. So all systems go. We're still hoping that we will meet the target of May. I will ask my colleagues to answer questions that are specifically related to their program, including the acting CFO.
Thanks, Chair. I think the one when the acting was explaining the regional bulk, she covered questions on slow and delays in projects and how we reallocate and why we reallocate money to other working projects. The one thing that she didn't cover was the Matibeng one, where the designs were very bad. In that case, we haven't paid that consultant that did those designs, because it was basically he took the old designs and put his initials to them to say it's new designs. So we can't pay for such things. So the consultant work is not needed anymore, and we haven't paid him because we have appointed Mahalis Water to do proper designs now. So the money is going to be paid to Mahalis Water. I think that was the only one that she didn't cover.
That consultant or agent is unfortunate. We know Nandoni where people produce wrong parts, but God takes. Put away with it.
I think, Chair, that is where it comes in your verification, that we need to go out there and verify that what is on the ground is what we wanted to be on the ground. So going forward, we will be doing that more often, so that we shouldn't pay for things that are not right.
Can we have a follow-up, Chairperson, on the other responses? I thought you were done.
I think there are a few questions that I need to respond on. One is the issue of budgeting for the interest on land and rent. I've indicated that expenditure that went through there is the misallocation. Instead of paying other code in the SCOA item, the expenditure went through to the SCOA item of the interest on land. Otherwise, as a department, we cannot budget for such circumstances. As well as theft and losses. We don't budget for theft and losses because we do not promote the fact that the department should incur on losses. And with the stringent measures that we put in terms of the losses, but some of the losses are the losses that are incurred by the external parties that are beyond our control as a department. Like if we have to write off he mentioned the salaries, but I wanted to say to write off any debts from the external party in the department that we cater. And if such has happened, we then move, I'm trying to have a better word of shifting, accommodate the funds to accommodate such circumstances. The chairperson has asked what is the department is going to ensure that the payments are going, like they will have a spending by 31st of March. We reported that at 31st of December we're sitting at 62%, but as we speak today, we are at 91%. And with the number of invoices that are still to be processed, we can assure that the department is not going to underspend by less than 2.6%. That's the target that we are putting ourselves in based on what we have and the commitment that we have on the system. And if we get the invoices from the service providers, that we will process. And we also have engaged the national treasury in terms of setting off the loans that will save the department in the long run in terms of making payments on. And we are also in the negotiation with the PPSA on setting off such loans. So with those in place, and if they go through, then we are going to be on par in terms of our expenditure. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, thanking you for the opportunity one more time. And I think the slides, my hard copies here, is slide number 13. That slide there, number 13, I thought the one, number 13 on my slide, explains the outcome. This is interesting, but again, that does not answer my question. The acting, as she's called, explained that very, very adequately. Very, very, very adequately, and it is interesting. But the issue here is that whether is the dollar or the money that you manage yourself, the fund that you manage yourself and you pay upon the concession, it does give a serious question of planning. That it's where I'm at. Here, I think this is slide 8 on my slide here. You did not agree on technical options with the district municipality. That is what you are explaining here. I'm sitting here, I'm saying this should have been addressed upfront before you commit funds. I'm talking about funds here that has been committed without that agreement in place. That it is where the issue of bad planning comes to play. Because I suppose, Chairperson, that is what managers do. You level the playing field, you have everybody on board, you sign the agreement, you agree before you commit. Here, there is an agreement. The funds have already been committed. That is the first one. You go to the same slide on the bottom about Monte. I suppose here, this is what politician does best. Maybe she may have went there, announced this project, again without doing the technical stuff on the ground. Again, announced 20 million will be spent, you agree. Then it took time, and again, the approval process took a long time. What is this? If it is not bad management, you tell me. Because I don't know this stuff, I'm not a technocrat. If this is not bad management, what is it? That is what I'm talking about. I do appreciate that there is a dollar issue here, and that on the other monies here about this project, you don't transfer. I understand that. It does not, however, address the issue of bad planning and bad management. I mean, Chairperson, I can go on. This is talking about that, Chairperson, and I just want to really not to belabor the point, but maybe be a comfort explanation here that this has been addressed. Because what I'm saying here, my argument is without proper planning, without proper agreement, without addressing the issue of capacity, but already the funds have been committed. That is my point, Chairperson. I hope I'm being clearer now. This is the things here. This is the money. It cannot be, this project cannot be. Then as a result, you reallocate the money to another project. That is where I'm at. Because here, I'm a politician. I can almost be sitting here. This minister went there with TVs flashing and all that. 20 million will be committed and all that. Thank you, Sir President.
I'm going back to this issue of Masiban Bay. I think we are also aware of the fact that such donations have specific, are there for specific purposes. And then the only way that we can answer this question and that will be clear to us is for the department to tell us how this Masiban Bay money has been used, and because it seems, according to them, there were no specific programs that deserved to get this Masiban Bay. Let's get it in writing from you that the donation is this much, specifically for this. None of the 200 municipalities, I just say 200, applied for this fund, is still there. This is for this. No one applied for it because this relocation of redistribution of it is an issue. Here is the money which was sent by Netherlands or what to be used to for those, the poorest of the poor, and I think that for basic services. Let's see which municipality, because I'll go and ask my municipality why it did not ask for that money, because we are very poor and I know they applied for certain money which they are struggling to get because of the department. So let's get proper information, and I go back to my municipality. I tell them that really this money didn't work. Can you give us a deadline, because it's not an issue. It's just to go to the computer and say, this is the money we got. This is the municipalities that applied. This were not for the funds specified. And we, with our constituencies, we know our municipalities, we know that they deserve that money. We'll ask them why they did not apply. Can they really help us in that session? And I don't think we are happy about the Nandoni issue. It was not well responded to, because there's also that legal issue about Nandoni, where they say the pipes were small. And we think there was a budget involved there.
Yeah.
It's part of the Limpopo and Mpumalanga issues. I think we'll get the responses from it, because there were some even legal implications of the smaller spaghetti things, which they refer to as spaghetti.
Yeah.
And how far did it go? But it's part of what Dr. Rabi asked, I think.
I think that the questions that were not answered, sometimes they were omitted by mistake, sometimes it's because you want to respond them in writing. One of the questions I ask myself is, why has Mpumalanga got to make a contribution? It was not responded to. But if you can't respond to it now, then you can...
Well, you may respond to it later.
So you then allow you to respond to those questions that you can respond to, and other questions that will be in writing. But the issue really that relating to the last question, you can respond as much as you had. We earlier I did indicate to Dr. Rabi that we're thinking that before we do, speaking to Mr. Bota during the time, that before we come to go back, would like to have a response in writing in terms of what has been the progress now before we can go back. We don't want, we will not ambush you. But I think the letter should be on the way.
We're still using letters, not email. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I think this will be like your last round before we go to Mr. Machi there.
Thank you, Chair. I will also try and answer questions that we somehow need to. In appreciation of the challenges at local government level, what is being done? Chair, you will remember, maybe members are aware of the work that COCTA has undertaken with a turnaround strategy. We are working very closely with COCTA to contribute to the turning around of municipalities. That's right. They are also developing a special purpose vehicle, yes, that is meant to address capacity issues of municipalities that are lacking in technical capacity. But I think there is a realization that some powers and functions that were allocated to certain municipalities, maybe in retrospect, were not necessarily done accordingly. So since that is really a political process that's going to take some time, it's something that has to be handled well, and COCTA, I want to believe COCTA is handling that. We have provided them with our comments, for instance, on what should a typical water services authority do and what kind of capacity do they require to be able to perform those functions. So that is work in progress. Chair, we have talked about the new approach that we are implementing of support to local government as per the directive of the minister. We are in the process of finalizing this new approach. We will be presenting it to MINMEC on the 31st for adoption, and then we will be implementing. It's an enhanced local government support approach. So those are some of the interventions that we're looking at to try and deal with capacity issues. Chair, you asked the question, we have to be realistic about what we can spend. I talked about the interventions that we have put in place, and I hope we have managed to convince the committee that we will not irresponsibly dump funds. We're working on invoices, as the acting CFO has talked. We pay when invoices are on the table. That would be invoices for work done. We are using, in most cases, implementing agents, which are our water boards. They have capacity, much more capacity than most municipalities. So that is why we're hoping that we will be able to spend when it comes to the regional park infrastructure program. Lerato will talk about the 27% contribution. Chair, I have noted the Honourable Member's comment about bed planning, and I must start by acceding to say, when this program started, we presented the business plan, the need for such a program, such a grant to local government, I mean to National Treasury. And because they appreciated the challenges of bulk infrastructure in the country, they indeed agreed. And I must say, at that time, they immediately requested us to come up with a list of projects that we were going to implement. So we, even though we had done the studies and assessed the pre-feasibility studies at a very high level that assessed the need and which municipalities are needing, we had not done detailed study. So we provided that list to get the funding. We got the funding and we had to allocate money to funding. So I would say right from the beginning, the manner in which this program was conceived compromised its ability to plan properly. In addition to that, to planning for water projects, the lead period is very long, very long. You have to go through some feasibility studies, sometimes those take a year. So in your typical government environment that's riddled with bureaucracy and inefficiencies, it becomes even longer. So I do take the point about proper planning. What we have done, which is what I think you want to hear, is what are we going to do to try and avoid this in the future? I indicated that we're going to be using water boards. They have much more capacity than us. But we're also building program management capacity in the department because we lost that over the years. So so we're going to have much more stronger program management capacity in the regions at head office as well to improve on planning. Yes, that was a ministerial, and so if the minister announces, you have to find the budget, but you still have to follow proper procedures.
Yeah.
So the procurement processes and the feasibility studies that have to be done before you invest money of this amount, those cannot be compromised. But I still agree that inefficiencies in the process maybe could be improved. There's room for improvement. Chair, we're taking a responsibility to provide a detailed report on the Masibambane by the 31st, if that is acceptable to the 31st March. We will provide a detailed report. And the legal issue around Nanduni, yes, there is a court case that's currently running. The department will try by all means to recover funding, but of course it will depend on the outcome of the court case itself. So maybe you want to speak more, but National Treasury has made available funding to replace the pipes, and work is happening on the ground to deal with it. Philip, you want to say more?
Jefferson, I think the acting DG said about all. It's true that the Treasury gave us additional funding, so the project is going ahead. But we can give you a written response on the legal process, what is the current status of the case.
When the Bloemendal pipeline was identified, the Mpumalanga provincial government, together with Water Affairs, were in a meeting together, and then the funding, because remember when I said regional bulk infrastructure program, we only fund the social component, and then any economical part. Any economical part where the bulk pipeline or the scheme is going to benefit some company or something else that is not social, your poor people, then the municipality needs to come up with the money. And Delmas is a small municipality, they don't have the money. So Mpumalanga provincial government said, no, we will come in and help you so that we can have that bulk pipeline. Randwater on the other side came in as a PPP to say they will fund the larger portion of the scheme. That's where Water Affairs was 27.5 and Mpumalanga government 27.5, then the balance was Randwater of the total cost. The total cost then was 84 million. And when they went now to do proper feasibility, the total cost came to more than double that, which is 168, I think. So, exactly. So they had to go back now, to go back and re-sign the agreement to say, we are still on those 27.5 and 27.5 from Water Affairs, 27.5 from the Mpumalanga government. And that has been signed off. So now it's continuing.
Have asked are the questions that our minister have been asking us. and she raised, in terms of concerns, she had the same concerns. We can assure the committee that we're doing our best to make sure that come the end of the financial year, we're not sitting with funds that are unspent when communities are out there without water. However, Chair, we have to say we have to be responsible in the process. If for various reasons we can't spend the money, then we will have to come and respond and tell Parliament that we have not been able to spend. But we're working hard to make sure that our under expenditure does not exceed 3% at least. Thank you.
Thank you, the Honourable.
Yes, thank you, Chair.
I know that you're going to do some more.
Okay.
They raise the issues of, these issues of planning. We spoke about the division of revenue, for instance. I mean, the conditions of the division of revenue of the project. So, I don't know if you can apply with the. We're not saying that there are not going to be problems because there was planning, but what is in passing?
Thank you very much, the Honorable Chair. I just wanted to clarify something on Masibamban. It's not
sorry, the other thing that I don't know if you are going to be able to respond. My first question was, I've tried it to yourself.
I just wanted to clarify something on Masibamban. It's not only donor funds. At the moment, there is 195 million for donor funds, and 195 million for donor funds, and 200 million from the fiscus. So I just wanted to clarify that so that we all understand the situation. And then,
for your part, I think that the member was saying wanted a detailed report after this. If we hear what you're saying, 195 is 200 million, but when the breakdown of that?
Yes. And then, when coming to the issue of value for money, We have actually been working closely with the department on a number of projects. And our first target, in fact, was RPIC, which in the 2011 MTEP period has got 5.9 billion. So what we wanted to do there is to ensure that at the end of the day, our people get what they deserve, and we have got tangible deliverables in that. We committed ourselves to assist the department in looking at reviewing the model, the implementation model of the program. And in fact, our next meeting will be this week, whereby we'll look at how it's implemented currently and how best can we improve on what is there now. That's the RPIC. And then the same applies to the Huop Dam. Because when we interrogated the whole project, right from the beginning up to now, there are some technicalities that we picked up, and we looked at is how can we improve from where they started up to where they are. Because since they started, there's been a change in the funding model. So by next month, we requested the team that is working on the project to provide us with a report that clearly outlines how do we move forward from where we are now, because there have been changes like shifting the completion date of the project and other technical issues which we engage the department at our offices or at our area of work. And then the other thing is the standardization of programs. National Treasury has identified that. And in fact, in the previous, before the 2011 budget, we circulated the standardization, the example of budget program structure, which standardize mainly program one, so that there is consistency in all the departments, which will assist you that, well, when you look at program one, you know what are the sub-programs in there. So that has been identified, and we're working on it. Of course, some departments might have started incorporating that late, but we're working closely with them in getting that on track. Of course, in this one, you may not see it because the circular was issued after the 2010 budget. I think that's all. Thanks very much.
No, thank you very much, Mr. Mach. But now, as long as we, we have all identified this and correcting it. But I just want to say, in closing, there are a number of questions that we're not what you call answered. That at least I'm sure when you look at the questions, you'll be able to respond. One of them is the EIA question. Has not been responded to. But we just want to appreciate the work that you're doing. I mean, you are at 62%. And the next thing is the four things that you will be acting will be around 96-97% by the time you will be. Well, as long as those funds are going to real work that we can all quantify. To us, we appreciate it. But the issue maybe that you need to look at is this relationship between yourselves and the local government, whether it's legislation that needs to be looked at. But we'll be happy if you meet us next time, maybe around this issue. It's an issue that we can meet around next time to say what are the issues that you see that are the challenges that are hampering service delivery or supply of water, for instance, between yourselves and local government. So the saying, for instance, you look at the municipality and think that it's working well, you can be in a position to do a project. In the implementation, then the problem arises and you can't hope it now. But maybe what you need to look at is from the beginning, should you really look at these municipalities as one that is, has capacity and others don't have, because there are unforeseen what you call the challenges that arise from time to time. Shouldn't just you be saying, look, we're implementing it, you will assist us, and these are the conditions that we want on your own conditions? Because there are some of the things, for instance, that delay the whole what you call it work, because now on some of the things that you said we didn't foresee them as issues that may raise what you call it, challenges, but they do raise them. In this committee, the issue of reallocation, well, in terms of financial what you call it principles, maybe something that is simple that, well, if municipal A can't what you call it make use of it, let's reallocate it to municipality B. But the need that was there at the beginning, you have not addressed it. So to us, something that we really need to look at, that I think it's related to these issues of the department taking charge rather than sharing the responsibilities with the municipality that you think that they have capacity when sometimes they don't have. I think that the last what you call a comment that one would like to inform you about is that as a committee now we have resolved to debate
call this a report. In the past, it was a report. We prepare a report and send it to the house. Now, we're going to debate them. And obviously, we will inform you the issues that we raised. That's why to us it's important that on those questions that we have undertaken to respond to, please respond. We don't want to say in our report and you undertook to come back to us in writing on these issues and we have not. So on that note, I would like to. It's not what you call the. I think that if we look at when we started in 2009 meeting you and now, in fact, for me, much before that, I think that there is progress. There's room for. I mean, there's progress, but there's room for improvement. If we can agree on some of the things that we are discussing, the purpose of national treasure. Thank you very much. I was just whispering to my friend here if he has prepared any events. You know, he said it's BOP, you know. You know, if you've been to those parties of BOP, you know, if you don't have a bottle. Thank you very much.